Summer is the busiest time of the year for aerial agriculture as farmers order pilots to spray crops with pesticides to combat weeds. More and more farmers are looking into using remote control drones to do the job. Will there be a revolution in our skies? Philip Stempion investigates.
They can sound like an angry wasp and are a popular toy for kids and enthusiasts alike. Drones have been used for a range of business uses, including wedding videos and real estate photography. Farmers are now discovering the potential of drones in a range of farm applications such as surveying, scouting and spraying pesticide.
The drone is just like a tractor, you know. It's just a machine to get jobs and it's all about the sensor underneath the payload it carries. That's what makes the real money.
Dr. Will Bignell is a seventh generation farmer in Tasmania and is one of the 1,000 registered drone pilots around the country. He uses drones for his own family farm as well as for his aerial surveying business. He's also a licensed pilot and says there are many jobs drones can do that would be dangerous for larger planes.
It reduces the danger to people. I mean, that's a good fit for drones, is we're dirty, dangerous jobs. We're great for that. Flying around low, around a paddock with a plane, trying to take a photo under a wing, low and slow, you know, concentrating on your paddocks, that's dangerous. It's a dangerous type of flying. So, you know, you're just reducing risks, whereas you put a UAV up, you know, there's no real danger to any person.
The drone industry is quite well established and drones can be built for any scenario, including high wind, but sensors designed for agriculture are still highly experimental. Dr. Bignell says remote sensing techniques are still in development and the first camera dedicated for crop health was only released this year.
If you give poor data to a farmer or data that isn't true, they can see it straight away because we live and breathe these crops. We're not idiots. So you send me dud data, I'll spot it, won't trust it, won't believe it. And a heck of a lot of that goes on. But yeah, now we're getting to the point where we're getting good data. We are bringing up variable rate fertiliser, variable rate irrigation. So, you know, I took a photo last week of my paddock of wet areas and soil types. I've then gone down a 940-metre irrigator and changed the water rate on every single sprinkler the whole way down it. So down 290 sprinklers. And they turn on and off according to the wetness of the soil. So it allows us to do that sort of stuff. I couldn't have done that on foot before. But, yeah, 1 hour drone flight, half an hour on a computer and upload it to the machine. And, yeah, we're suddenly using water better, reducing water logging and, being more sustainable.
Aerial agriculture, which is commonly known as crop dusting, is a very important part of the industry. In Australia, there are around 300 aerial ag pilots who are represented by the Aerial Agriculture Association of Australia. CEO of the association, Phil Hurst, says drone pilots are more than welcome to join it, but the authorities are lagging behind on regulating the booming sector.
Everyone's struggling to catch up with this fairly new phenomenon that is represented by drones, and consequently the regulations are only just being made now to allow, for example, licensing and use of drones in agriculture.
He says drones have many benefits, but they also must adhere to strict regulations on pesticide use and safety.
The specialty of remotely piloted vehicles is that you use them where it's dirty and dangerous. That's all well and good, but they also have to meet the mark on safety, on protecting the environment, on making sure there's no spray drift, etc. So there's a bunch of parameters there that the drone industry is really struggling to get their head around at the moment.
In 2013, there was a close call between a drone and a crop duster as they flew within 100 metres of each other. It was investigated by the Australian Transport Safety Bureau, and in this particular case, it seemed like a miscommunication was their main issue. Mr. Hurst says CASA, the Civil Aviation Safety Authority, needs to address this issue, and he has a suggestion as to how they can deal with it.
The issue of communication is the one risk that CASA have not managed to address in any way, shape or form, which is a bizarre approach to risk management. And we've said in various submissions to Senate inquiries and to CASA inquiries that what really needs to happen is a simple app be made available so that, for example, an established aerial applicator using conventional aircraft could drop a pin on a geographic system like Google Earth or something. And then if any drone operator wants to operate, they also drop a pin to say, here I am. And that would enable the two to communicate by an exchange of phone numbers or something else. And communication is the absolute base condition of good spraying and good aerial application. So if we can get the communication thing happening, then the risks are lowered all around. And that's what's missing at the moment.
CASA has recently released a number of new regulations dealing with drones to ensure everyone uses airspace safely. CASA spokesperson Peter Gibson urges drone users to look at the new rules.
The fines range from around $1,000 to up to more than $10,000. So there can be some serious penalties there for people who break the drone rules. Very important that everyone follows the drone safety rules. Whether you're flying a recreational drone for fun in a park or an open area, or you're using a drone for a commercial purpose in aerial agriculture.
Civil Aviation Safety Authority spokesperson Peter Gibson concluding that report by Philip Sempion.